Tonight we're going to talk about honor. Honor. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God is giving you." This is the only command, and Paul points this out in Ephesians, that this is the only command that's given that has a promise. It has a promise with it. It has a blessing for keeping it. And it has to do with honoring mother and father, to honor parents. Right? Every parent is happy that that's there. Honor. Deuteronomy 5:16 repeats again a little bit differently. "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land in which the Lord your God is giving you." So, here again, you see reiterated just a little bit different that God is saying, obey your father and mother as I commanded you. Does God ever not want us to honor our mother and father? Is there ever a time when it's okay to just say, you know what? The heck with you. I don't need you. I mean, unless you're a teenager, and then it's still not okay. But that seems to be when that's the most rampant, doesn't it? There's an odd smell coming from somewhere. And I've got a big fan blowing it at me, but I'm not getting rid of the fan. Okay. The word for honor is the Greek, is the Hebrew word kabod. To outline in biblical use, what it literally means is to be heavy or weighty. To be hard or rich, honorable, be glorious, be burdensome, be honored. The outlined version on this is to be heavy or weighty. So what does it mean to honor? It means to give weight to. When you're putting stuff on a scale, you're adding weight to it. So you're creating, you're adding to it. So when we're honoring our mother and father, we're honoring, we're adding weight to it. It's a heavy issue. It's a weighty issue. It's not a light thing. Okay? This is a heavy issue. Honor your mother and father is a weighty issue. It's one that carries weight with it. You know, we have the saying, it carries weight. It carries with it importance. It carries with it value. You would say, well, we're all adults in here. Why are we talking about honoring our mother and father? It is to glorify. It is to make honored, to give honor, to give weight to treat with wealth, to treat richly. In that, when I see this, I think of not my earthly father necessarily, but definitely my earthly father, but my heavenly father. Because this is the commandment that's right in the midst of all the other commandments. It's the one that is the transition between how we treat God and how we treat others. And if here we see given as a weighty issue to honor our mother and father, the previous conversation has been about honoring God. So this has to do everything with our cross relationship, our horizontal relationship with our parents, but it also has to do with our vertical relationship with God as our Father, to honor Him. If we honor Him, we're going to put Him first. He's a heavy, weighty matter. We're not going to have other gods before Him, right? I'm not going to make idols to worship instead of putting Him first. Then when I move on to my horizontal relationships with other people, I'm gonna live a life of honor where I'm going to honor other people, not just my mother and father, because I'm being raised as a child to honor first my parents, then God, and then other people. See, honor has so much more to do with just being something written in the Old Testament. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. I know I have it bookmarked. Matthew chapter 15. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions or the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he curses, and he who curses mother, father and mother, let him be put to death." So there's a standard here. These Pharisees have come, they've come to try to trip Jesus up. These Pharisees, the whole time he's on the earth, their whole goal is to trip him up. And every time they're doing it, they're not bringing God's law, they're bringing their traditions of men. They're bringing their traditions, the rules that they set up. See, the Pharisees would sit in this thing called the seat of Moses. And they would read Moses every week on the Sabbath. Then they'd get down and they'd teach like doctrine their traditions. Okay? Is it wrong to eat a piece of bread without washing your hands? No. What's the worst that's going to happen? You won't get some dirt in your mouth. Right? Children play in dirt all the time. Michael plays in dirt. I've never seen anybody play in dirt the way Michael does. Except for Josiah. Dirt, we're made from. There are studies that show that people who get out and garden in the dirt don't suffer depression because they're in touch with the dirt. There's something about the dirt that helps. Everything that we eat that is grown comes from the dirt. The cow that we eat eats the grass that's grown in the dirt. But the Pharisees have taught that it's unclean to eat without washing your hands first. I guarantee you, I've got a 7-year-old son. I tell him to go wash his hands and he comes back, they're wet. They don't look any the cleaner. They have got dirt embedded in them. I was looking at my father-in-law. They drove up yesterday. If you don't know, this is my mother and father-in-law, Kathy's parents, Jim and Koltichi Gentry. They came down from Alaska, and they've had like a very cold summer there. It's been rainy and cloudy and rainy in the 60s. It's 55 degrees tonight. And so they came down. They were in Napomo. It was 80 degrees when they got to Napomo. My father-in-law thought he was going to melt like an ice cream cone. I assured him when he came up here, we have a swamp cooler and a window air conditioner. He's not going to die up here. But the tradition was that if you didn't clean your hands, because the Pharisees had created all these rules, ceremonial cleanings, all these special things you had to do in order to be clean enough. I mean, come on, to be clean enough to eat. You had to be clean enough to eat. My son would never eat. He would literally never eat. He's just dirty all the time. He reminds me a little bit of Pigpen. Remember Pigpen from the Peanuts? He walks around and he's just got this whirl of dust around him all the time. That's my son. Here in Matthew 15:4, "For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles," which is the Greek word kakalegio, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that right, "or father, must surely die." This word means to address with offensive language or to treat with disrespect. Anybody ever hear a teenager talk back to their parents and the disrespect they use? They revile. It's reviling. That person, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He's the Word, right? He's the Word. He's the Ten Commandments. I mean, he's the walking epistle. We're walking epistles. They're living epistles, that's what Paul called us. Deuteronomy 5:16 again says, "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord, Yahweh, your God, commanded you, that your days may be long and that you may go well with you in the land that the Lord Yahweh is giving you. You can't honor your mother and father and talk bad about them. We can't honor God and accuse him of things that he doesn't do. Well, God just doesn't heal everybody. No, that's not true. We've been talking about faith on Sunday mornings. I loved it. I said this last Sunday morning. I said, if I go up for prayer and I don't receive healing, whose fault is it? Most everybody opened their mouth and said, mine. Why? Because it's our fault. We're put on the receiving end. It's like salvation. It's up to us. Our words are a result of what's in our heart. This is what really Jesus is getting at in Matthew 5 there, is that it's, and he goes on, well, let's read it. Matthew 15, and verse 4 says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Well, that's pretty strict, huh? You put somebody to death who disrespects their parents. But you say, and this is that's what the law says. So Jesus is quoting the law, and he says, but you say, this again, this is not when they're sitting in the seat of Moses. This is when they get down and they teach his doctrine, their traditions of men, and they're saying, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy, saying about you, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Wow. It's like Isaiah was there witnessing this whole thing. What does this mean? What does that mean? Whatever I've gained as a result of being your child and the apprenticeship that you've put me under and the things that you've blessed me with and the skills that you've taught me, I'm going to use this, and all of the income from that I'm giving to God, and they're doing that as a way of not having to give to their parents to help them. It's the same as saying, my parents are old. I just don't like them. They're not going to come live with me. I can't do that. They've got a little shack. They've got, you know, $500 in food stamps every month. They're fine. They don't, you know, it's the same kind of thing. The Pharisees are saying that kind of behavior is okay. Because as long as you're giving the proceeds to God instead, there's a way around having to be honoring your parents. And there are people who would have us say, well, you know, I love this. Being a car, in the garage doesn't make you a car, right? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. No, but it sure can help, can't it? You know, people say, you know, I heard somebody say, well, so-and-so just believes, you know, that their grandfather said you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, no, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But it's a way from getting away from the things that God wants us to do. He said, forsake not the fellowshipping together, as is the habit of many. Now, this is not a message to try to make people feel bad about not coming to church. This is about honoring God. See, there's a lot of ways that we can say, well, you know, I'm honoring God, and I'm giving him this, and I'm doing that. But what is the intent of the heart? Is it because we're making God a weighty issue in our lives? Are we making him the focus? Are we putting everything into him that we can put into him? Are we honoring him? Are we honoring our parents? Here's the thing. You know, if I trade my kids to honor us, and then we train them to honor God, as they get older, treating people with honor is going to be a way of life for them. And then they will treat with honor other people. And in doing so, they're honoring God because they're putting others first. Jesus said, it's the last shall be first and the first shall be last, right? He said, if you want to be great, first you have to be a servant. He's the ultimate example of that, isn't he? He honored his father. And he came and he left heaven and the glory of heaven. And he put it all aside and he came here and he lived here and dwelt with man and taught man and taught us and saved us from the law of sin and death, so that that thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden no longer is over us. We're not suppressed by it. We're not suppressed by the bondage of that sin that we were all born into. And he said to his father in the garden, remember, he said, "Father, if there's any way that this burden can be removed from me, let it happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." That's honor. He honored his father greatly. He honored his fellow man greatly. He put mankind above his own desire not to die, not to suffer, not to go to hell. He is the ultimate example of a son honoring his father. And he's the ultimate example that we have of honoring our parents and honoring God. And when we do that, when we're effectively honoring God and honoring our parents, then we can be effectively honoring God. See, there's genetic instruction in every individual. Your kids are going to look like a combination of you and your spouse. They're going to have a lot of the same characteristics. Around our house, we like to say that Josiah got the Gentry gene. And by that, we mean that he's loud. There's no qualms about it. Gentries are loud. They are, and they're fun. And you can hang out and hang with the Gentries all you want. And you're just only going to be loved and accepted. We did, and I'm not doing this to brag on ourselves. A gal contacted me on Facebook, and she says, "This is my last week of my externship." And I only know her from Facebook. I'd never actually met her. And she wanted to know, right? Because you don't know where I'm getting to with this yet. She wanted to know if the preschool could keep her kid this week because her child care gave out at the last minute. I said, "Well, I don't see why not. How old is your daughter?" And she said, 8. I'm sorry, we're only licensed up to age 6. She thought, "Oh, I really don't know what I'm going to do." And I looked at Kathy, and this is what a gentry does. I said, "She doesn't have anyone in the area to watch her daughter for 4 days this week, for 11 hours a day." And she said, "Okay." So we met the mother for the first time Monday morning at 7:15. Met the daughter for the first time Monday morning at 7:15. Now she knows I'm the pastor here because she was contacting. So she's not just calling some random person. But we're learning to honor each other. What a blessing that is for her, that we know how to honor one another, to honor our Heavenly Father, and to watch out for those that can't watch out for themselves. We're learning the way of honor, how to put other people first. Because I tell you what, in my flesh, it's work having somebody else's kid there for 11 hours. I mean, if I want to go lay down in my bed and take a nap in the afternoon, you feel like you can't do that. Because now you're responsible for someone else's kid. You know, when it's just your kid, you're like, "I'm going to go lay down in my bedroom. Try not to kill each other, okay?" You don't get to do that. You know, and you know, "Well, what do you like to eat?" Really, that's all. Okay, we can do that. And at the same time, telling our kids, "No, you have to eat that." You know. But see, they're learning honor. They're learning respect. It is the responsibility of parents to teach children. Come on, it's not the school district's responsibility. Oh, Lord, help us in this present day with the things the school districts want to teach children. Come on, it's not the children's pastor at church's responsibility. I was a youth pastor. Do you know how many parents think it's the youth pastor's responsibility to teach their children about God? in the church, members, about 99% of them. Where's the learning to honor God at home? See, honoring God begins at home. It doesn't begin at church. It begins by opening your Bible. It begins by you sharing with your children. It begins by, see, we can go around and we can celebrate Thanksgiving and Halloween and Christmas, and the kids just absolutely know all of those things. But when we open our Bible and they get bored and yawn because we only do it once or twice a year, they're not honoring the Word of God. See, we're going through this thing with Josiah. Man, I'll tell you what, Faith loves to pray. And she, you know, when it's something she wants to eat for dinner, as soon as everybody's sitting down, she's praying. Father, thank you for this food. Blessed to our bodies for good nourishment and health in Jesus' name. And then she opens and it's time to eat. She knows the routine. Josiah's like, he's sitting there like twirling around like, thank you for the food. If you've ever met my son. But it's up to us to teach our children to honor God. It's up to us to teach our children to honor us as parents without being hard on them and causing them to rebel through our discipline. We're actually told not to do that. Because if we weren't told to do that, the natural instinct is going to be to spank their little bottoms every time they turn around. Then they learn how to honor God. They learn to honor others. It is the spiritual DNA of the believer who has the Spirit of God in them. Nobody has to tell you not to lie when you're born again. Because, man, you lie when you're born again. Oh, God, do you even still love me? Right? I mean, every one of us, when we, without realizing, without knowing, without even thinking about it, you know, if I were to covet something, I'm like, man, I just feel gross about even wanting that person's stuff. You're not going to steal. Because it's ingrained in us. It's part of our spiritual DNA. And the more we get the Word of God into us, the more the Word of God is engrafted into us, the more we're going to be a person who's a person of honor, who puts God first and puts others first and puts ourselves last. That's the ultimate responsibility as a parent, isn't it? You've got the last bowl of ice cream, and two little eyes come looking at you. And it's dessert night. And they know. All right, well, let me have just one bite and you can have it. Because it's the parent teaching our children how to honor and to put others first. How to treat others as the weighty issue. How to treat others. See, how to treat others the way that God treats us. By putting us first. God didn't want to come down and live as a man and die on a cross and be subjected to the humiliation. But he did it because he looked at us and saw us over that little bowl of ice cream and said, okay, for you I'll do it. Right? Honor. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because it's right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It is our God-given responsibility to teach our children honor. It is our responsibility, even as parents, and at our age, to give our parents honor, not to treat them as yesterday's news, to honor them, to help them, to bless them. No matter how old we get, as long as our parents are here on the earth, we are to honor them, not find ways around not having to. It is our responsibility all of our life to be teaching that through our actions to other people, whether we have children or not. There are people who are watching us. What kind of life are we living? Are we living a life of honor where we put other people first, where we put God first? Is it the visible thing in our life? Is that what people notice about us? Boy, you're just so selfless the way you're always putting other people first. I don't know that I'd be like that in that situation. She got in so much trouble for me once. Were we still dating, and the hitchhiker? We were still dating. And she, took forever. She was supposed to be on her way. And she took forever, and she got there. I'm like, what took you so long? Well, there was this man. Is that how it went? Oh, she locked her keys in the trunk. Oh, this guy had, his car had died on the side of the road or something, and she stopped to help him. She put his stuff in the trunk of the car, locked her keys in the car. So they had to hitchhike together to get a ride into town to get me to get the spare keys to the car. I'm going to get the keys, and I'm coming to you. And, oh, don't you ever stop to help a male hitchhiker or anybody like that at night. Come on, at night, on the side of the road. Oh, I don't know if I'd call it faith. That's right. Well, see, there's this thing. No, no shame on me. There's this thing in the Bible about the law of vows. A married woman under the law of God cannot make vows that are permanent unless her husband gives approval to them. So wives are supposed to, this is interesting, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, husbands are supposed to love their wives. Isn't that interesting? Submit means to agree with. Love means to cherish. In other words, God's telling us how this relationship works. God's telling us, because the ultimate, you know, nobody wants to have to submit to somebody else. And men, just loving somebody to cherish them all of your life isn't always the natural response, right? Because we're dating, and she says, you know, we'd been dating for several months, and she says to me at church, she says, if we're going to date, we need to see each other outside church sometimes too. I was like, oh, I get it. You're being pushy on this. And then we're dating, and it's been about a year and a half, and she says, you know, we can't date forever. I'm like, yeah, well, you guys only dated for 3 months. I'm sorry, a month and a half. I always get that wrong. It's always shorter than I think it is. But honor, because I tell her, God is never going to tell you to pick somebody up on the road at night without me, because I don't want you to. I'm not cool with that. So God's never going to override that and tell her to do it, because then she's not submitting to me. It's about honor. I also tell her, she wants to skydive. I said, okay, you can do that after the children are grown up. Because if you die, you are not leaving me alone with those children to raise all by myself. Honor, right? Honor. Come on. No. She's a thrill seeker. Is this okay tonight? This help? I know this is something you think, well, you should be teaching this over in the youth group tonight. Yeah, I probably should have. Yeah, I almost made them stay for it too. I really did. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us so that we can become more like you, to be imitators of our Heavenly Father, to honor you with all that we have, to honor you with all of our possessions, to honor you with all of our hearts, and to always put you first in everything.